Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and welcome to Breaking the Silence. And here we are live from the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. And if you're watching football tonight, I tell you what, there is a miracle still in the making. Cincinnati absolutely blew Kansas City out of the water today, which was a total miracle from the living Lord. That's all I have to say. And it looks like the other game that's going on right now is going to be a dandy too. So this, I'm not a big football fan, but it's hard not to be towards the end of the season as we get closer to the Super Bowl, because the games are just so fantastic. We hope that you set up the computer where you can do it kind of like I do. You have the large screen over there, so you can do the show and still watch the score. And we'll keep you updated if you're listening to us live on the radio, what's going on in the world. But just the sun just went down here at the Medical Center at Houston, and it's been a beautiful, absolutely gorgeous day, and I hope it's been a great day for you wherever you're at. If you're on the East Coast, I have a feeling you're digging out snow. They have a couple of feet of snow out there. But we have somebody tonight that is from the beautiful state of California, Newport Beach, California. So she knows what real good weather is all about, and we're looking forward to talking to Patty here just shortly. If you want to get involved in the conversation tonight, there's a couple ways to do it. If you don't feel comfortable being on a radio or a Zoom broadcast, we won't be able to see you, but if you want us to hear you, you're welcome to call in to the BBS radio station, 888-627-6008, and the awesome people there at the radio station will be so kind to you and ask you your first name and then patch you right through, and you can get involved in the conversation. Also, you can get on Shattered by the Darkness Facebook page, and my awesome youngest son, Curtis, in Seattle, Washington, in the U.S. Army, is taking care of that Facebook page, and he will let us know if there's any comments or questions on that, but feel free to interact that way. But most of all, get a pen, a piece of paper handy, because I have a feeling that everything that our guest has to talk about tonight probably is something that you have experienced or need to have more wisdom on or need to have an extra tool in your tool belt. Because let me be honest with you, probably for the first 30, 35 years when I tried to play the game and never took my mask off and, hey, I'm okay, I'm fine, don't worry about me, until I really got real with my own life about 4 years ago and told people what had gone on in my life. It was easy to say, I got this all under control. But when I was home alone or driving in a car alone or working in my office alone, things would start working on me. And in that inside deep layer of your mentalness, of your cortex and all of that stuff up in here, that really that gray matter that you start thinking about when you're alone makes a big difference. At any time that we can get someone on that is a professional that can be able to talk about the tips, the techniques, and just some of the things to try to help, I always encourage that. And we have the perfect person tonight, Patty Porto from Newport Beach, California. And she has a long CV or resume, we say that in the medical field, but a resume. She is a life relationship coach, a certified mindfulness and meditation teacher, a certified, listen to this one, because I'm going to drill deep into this, a certified forgiveness coach. Say what? Yeah, we're going to get to that tonight. CBT, I don't even know what a CBT is, but we're going to find that out. And neuro-linguistic practitioner. That is just a few things that our guest is tonight and has knowledge on. So I can't wait to have this conversation. But most of all, I think newly acclaimed, we can add to this list. And then we'll bring her on, author. And I have been privileged to read the book a couple times that she is in the rough draft of. And I am willing to say this is going to be a dandy, going to be a good one, and we'll let you know all about that. And I want to welcome now, live to Houston, Texas, all the way from Newport Beach, California, Patty Porto. Patty, can you hear me tonight?
I can certainly hear you.
Fantastic. Well, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much.
How did we connect? How did we cross paths?
I listened to you on a podcast with Michelle Schelfond, and you said something very interesting on that podcast, that you always answer emails. And I was fascinated by that, and I sent you an email, and you answered me.
How long did it take me? Do you remember?
Less than 24 hours, and I think less than 12 hours, and I think it was only a couple of hours.
I have a 15-minute time limit on my own personal brain, but yeah, okay, I remember that now. You had just mentioned, hey, you heard me on there, and Michelle is, that's the adult chair, if I remember right,
yes, podcast, right? Yes, adult chair.
Yeah, that was great. And you reached out to me just to say what's going on in your world?
To talk about your experience and to find out how to talk to other people who may have had not a similar experience, but an experience with being molested. And I wasn't sure how to talk to clients about that. It's a very delicate situation. And you gave me a lot of insight into it, not to probe too deeply, and let them talk about it when they're ready to.
Yeah. Patty, are you finding in your practice and in your counseling and all the different people that's in front of you, probably daily, that this discussion comes up more than it ever has in your career?
I do find that. And I find people are still embarrassed, don't know how to talk about it. And people's communication is so poor that they're not even sure how to talk about it. I also find that people are scared they're going to be judged.
Yeah,
as a
stigma.
Society, I think we judge about everything. Somebody's too thin, somebody's too fat, somebody doesn't do this, somebody doesn't do that. And people feel that if there's something negative about them, that the people they talk to are going to judge them. And then they tend to stuff things down for so many years.
Yeah, I've been there, done that. Communication's a key, is it not, to almost everything that we deal with in life? So in your reaction, when somebody may just open that door of, yeah, I was hurt, or I have hidden pain, or I had that this morning, somebody that came and visited our church, met him in the parking lot, and he just opened up, but I opened up first. Mm. And when I did, he said, oh yeah, that happened to me too. And it automatically just relayed right into a conversation. So how important is that ability to communicate and have the facial expression and our tone and the way we are compassionate or not? What do you recommend when you're having those difficult conversations and you want them to feel the freedom to share more if they want to?
I think one of the most important things is when somebody is talking to you, before you answer, to pause. Don't jump right in trying to fix them. Pause for a minute and really let it sink in. Listen to what they said to you. Maybe they don't want anything from you. And I think it's important to ask, what do you need from me? When you ask, what do you need from me? They might say, I don't need anything. I just want you to listen to me. If you don't ask that question, sometimes people jump in and they try to fix somebody. And that's not what the person wanted. The person wanted to be heard. The person wants to be validated. How easy is it to say, what do you need from me? It's also like saying, I hear what you're saying and I want to help you. What do you need from me?
You know, that's powerful. And you know, you stepped on my toes about three or four times in that few sentences, because I am one of those. And people that listen to this program tells me sometimes, Greg, don't cut them off. But I get so excited about a topic, I'll jump in and I want to say something. And then it stops the progression of your complete thought. And I'm so guilty of that myself. I know better, but I think that's important just to listen. How many of the people, let's just say percentage wise, do you think really don't want or need anything but two ears to listen?
I don't know a number percent, but I think it's very high.
I do too.
Most people, I think, if you think people that you come in contact with and they tell you something, I think they want your validation. They just want you to say, I hear you. I hear you.
Now, you being in the relationship, life relationship coach world, that's one of your titles on your business card. How important is communication in relationships? I know the answer. I read the book, but I mean,
I love this question, because I think communication is so important.
Yes.
I want to give you an example, if that's okay. I was in a salon waiting for my turn, and there was a woman sitting next to me, probably 35 to 40 years old. She was talking on her cell phone. She had it on speaker. I could hear everything she said. She was talking to a male. I don't know their relationship, but every time he said something, he didn't even finish his thought, and she had jumped in. And after about a minute, she said to him, Hello, I'm talking. Don't you want to hear what I have to say? And I thought, oh my gosh, I need to take my card out and give it to her. Clearly, their relationship is headed for failure. She is not listening to him at all. All she's thinking about is what she wants to say.
Yeah, you know, we were talking just a few minutes before the program, because they don't allow us too many minutes to even chat, but we was talking about being an author and this being your first official interview. I am amazed how bad professionals are at this. I would be asked a question, because I do interviews like crazy, and they'll ask me a question, then they'll want the 10 questions from me. I don't do that. I'll do talking points, but I don't want questions. We'll just do like this. We'll just naturally go into a conversation. But they'll ask me a question, and then I'll start to answer it. And then before I ever finish the answer, they ask another question that's completely a different topic. And it's like, wait, I can tell you're not engaged to this whatsoever. You just want to fill the time with content. It doesn't matter really what the answer was to the question, because you're not listening. And we do that in life, right?
Right. And when they do that, how does it make you feel?
Yeah. Okay. Let's look at this with parents. Hey, son, time for you to take a bath and go to bed. Have a good day at school. and they're doing this, the parents. How irritating, and how much does that drive someone like you that knows the impact of that? Where have we gone wrong in that parental world of not communicating at all with our kids? And both the kids and the parents are guilty of that, obviously.
I think we're learning the art of communication.
Yeah.
Speaking one-on-one or in a group is so important. I see families go out to dinner, and one thing that really irritates me is they take their phone, hand it to the kids and say, here, watch a movie. Don't talk to us. Leave us alone. And I'm thinking, okay, these kids are between 7 and 10. When you want your kids to talk to you when they're teenagers, they're not going to, because you haven't built that relationship from when they were younger. And it's so important to build that relationship, to have that bond. You can't wake up when they're 14 and say, okay, now I have time to listen to you.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I have a friend that when we're together, one of their kids will call and pick up and talk, and they'll apologize. It's like, no, don't apologize. You're the parent. I love when kids call their parents and talk nowadays, especially when they're either teenagers or early 20s and things like that. It's like, that's what life is all about. And so I applaud that. Never get irritated with that. That's just what we need more of in the world, because I think we've let our kids down. We've let a whole generation down. Figure it out on the internet.
Believe it or not, kids want to talk to their parents. I work with young kids, and they'll have an issue with their mom. And I ask, how do you want to handle this? And they tell me that they want to sit with their mom and talk about it. And I think that's fabulous. 10-year-old children saying, I want to verbally talk about it. And they are able to express themselves amazingly. And I find it interesting that a lot of parents don't give their child the chance to express themselves. When they express themselves, it's beautiful. Yeah. They say exactly how they feel. And I think it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. And maybe I get on this soapbox periodically, and feel free to say, hey, Greg, shut it down. You know, you were talking about going to a salon. If it was a hair salon in the state of Texas, and I think every other state in the United States, you have to be licensed. Mm-hmm. To cut somebody's hair.
Right.
You have to be licensed to be a masseuse. You have to be licensed. But to be a parent, all you have to do is find somebody that you want to commune with and have a baby. And there's no training. There's no licensing. There's no guidance at all. And then they're dropped off in their hands and put into a car and made sure it's in a car seat and take them home. And that's it. And I personally think, I have been screaming about this for years, every school ought to have children in it during the day and classes available for parents in it during the night, so we can teach parents how to be parents. Because most of the time, they're doing it exactly how they were raised. And exactly. Most of the time, it was wrong.
I was just going to say that. I was going to say relationships are handed down. So yeah. The way I was parented is the way I parented, because I didn't know any difference until I came to have my own journey. My husband, the same way, the way he parents is the way his family parented him. And I look around and see everybody parenting the way they were parented. That's all we know.
Yeah.
That's all we can know. Those were our role models, and we believed them to be right. If you can't believe your parents are right in being a role model, then what can you believe? You have to trust that your parents are giving you the most accurate information. And unfortunately, they're not.
Well, I tell you what, that is an excellent segue as we go into our first commercial break. On the other side of this, I want to talk about your personal journey and why you wanted to put ink on a page and what the book, the goals of the book, of what you wanted to accomplish when people read it. So we're going to talk about that, to give you a minute or two to think about that as we take our first commercial break. 888-627-6008. We would love to have you jump in here and give us some parental advice, or if you're a parent that needs advice, call. And we're going to talk to Patty Porto from California a little bit longer. We have two more segments with her right on the other side of this first break. Stay with us. Be right back. Finally coming very soon will be the release of my second book in the three-part trilogy, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. Now, this book will be an in-depth look at the many different facets and emotions that a person goes through when they're experiencing anxiety and trauma in their life, and they're simply searching for hope. And an exciting addition to this book will be a companion journal guide that will come along with it. Also, there's going to be something that I'm very excited about, the youth version of this book called When Dark Clouds Come, The Roadmap to Hope. And it's going to be an excellent tool and guide for teenagers dealing with stress in their lives. So stay tuned for the release date coming very, very soon for these exciting new resources. Now back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams on the BBS Radio Network. All righty, welcome back. It is tied 17-17. It looks like going into the third quarter. So it's a good football game, but we have even a better conversation tonight. And you can accomplish both, I promise you. Hopefully, if you're into the game, you'll at least kick it up on the archives. And by the way, you can listen to every show we've ever done for the last 2 years or more on the archives of BBS Radio. And you can find majority of them right there on Shattered by the Darkness site, too. But it is a tied game. I am finishing up and getting ready to send off to print this When the Dark Clouds Come book for teenagers and 20-year-olds of how to get through anxiety and stress. That was the purpose of my book, was to get on their level, because we've let down a generation. Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, I dedicate the book to them. Sorry we've let you down. Hopefully this will help. Why did you pen the book that you sent me? What was the goals that you want to accomplish, and what motivated you to say, because it's not easy, what motivated you to start doing that and get it to the product that you have right now?
I grew up as an only child of a single mom. She worked and had very little time for me because she was always at work. Until I got older, I didn't realize all of the triggers I had. And I would go into a rage over the simplest little thing. I used to get really upset when people would be late to meet me. I would plan to meet somebody for lunch, and they would be 15 minutes late. And when they walked in, I was furious. I wasn't very nice. I was a little bit snarky. And that doesn't make for a good lunch conversation. Once I realized about triggers, I sat with them and thought, why am I so upset when somebody is late to meet me? And what it came down to was little Patty. Little Patty was about 6 years old, and mom would be late to pick her up from school. Back then, we didn't have cell phones. She didn't have a car. She rode the bus. And if she missed the bus, she was late to pick me up at school. I was the only child sitting in an office. I felt abandoned. I felt like I didn't matter. And I couldn't tell anybody because I had been taught that nobody wants to hear my problems. I realized that when somebody was late, I started to get anxious. I could feel it in my throat, in my chest. And I realized that I thought I was going to be abandoned. I thought that I didn't matter. But once I was able to feel it, I realized that wasn't the truth. The person was just late because they were late. They weren't abandoning me, and it certainly wasn't that I didn't matter to them. I also realized that when I was criticized, another trigger, it took me back to my childhood of not being good enough. And whenever someone criticized me, it could be for something really small. Oh, the chicken got burned. What do you mean the chicken got burned? Well, if you can make it better, then go ahead and make it yourself. And I realized that the criticism wasn't in that moment. The chicken did get burned. And all the person was doing was say, hey, the chicken got burned. But it reminded me of being criticized for not being good enough when I was a child. Now I can laugh about it. And it was so easy to just go through every single one of my triggers. And do you know that every single one of my triggers came from my childhood?
Absolutely.
And once I sat with them and allowed myself to feel the emotion, which is something I had never done, I had never taken the time to feel any of my emotion. I was raised and told, nobody wants to hear anything negative. If you have a problem, keep it to yourself. No one wants to hear it. So I did. And I don't want other people to be like that. Being able to free myself of triggers, of anxiety, to become better in relationship makes me a happier person. I used to be afraid to be authentic because I was told that if people knew the truth about you, they wouldn't like you. And so I never was me. But now I'm me. And I'm happy being me. And I want other people to experience it. It's a simple process. It's painful sometimes because memories are painful. But on the other side, it's so freeing.
With triggers, and we have a lot of people listening that hears that word periodically, but if they're listening for the first time tonight, Patty, how would you describe a trigger in somebody's life? And what does that word mean to you? I know you described what they did to you, but what is that word and how's it attached to possibly past experiences?
I think a trigger affects my well-being. They make me anxious. They cause ruminating thoughts to continually play in my mind. They make me not feel good enough. And if I don't get to the root of that trigger, what's really causing me to feel this way? My friend being 15 minutes late to lunch isn't causing me to have this reaction. I really need to sit with me. And I love talking to my inner child, little Patty. Little Patty, why are you feeling anxious when someone is late? And just wait. And my inner child said, because when I was in second grade, my mom was always late. And I didn't feel like I mattered. And it's an aha moment.
Is one of the keys to triggers learning to recognize that it's a trigger to begin with?
I believe so. I believe that you really need to be aware of your reaction in the present moment.
Yeah.
And really think about why you reacted a certain way. Wow, I really reacted to my friend being late. Was the reaction maybe not warranted. Yeah, it probably was over the top. Okay, what's really going on? Why am I so mad that she was 15 minutes late?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you find that if we do audits on ourselves, and we don't have to do them every day by all means, you know, nobody wants to do a self audit every day and evaluate what we're good and what we're bad, but every, you know, periodically we'll audit ourselves and say, hey, wait, why did I have a meltdown there? I mean, I literally audited myself when I started understanding that around 4:30 every afternoon, I was starting to get edgy and anxious and that knot in the throat and that uncomfortableness. And it's like, okay. And it's maybe because I'm, you know, it's the end of my workday. I'm tired. I didn't eat the right lunch and all that. But when I finally sat down and started auditing, wait, it's every day at the same time frame. Then I connected it, chained it to that's the time that my dad would pick me up and the abuse would start. Mm-hmm. And now I gear myself up for that time because I recognize it. And just recognizing the emotion and the anxiety and the stress, I have control on it. And I can say, wait, I'm not going to allow. So I gear myself up for that. People do this, and you probably know more about this than me. People do this what, Patty, about seasons? About nighttime, mm-hmm. about holidays, some people anniversary date of someone's death, anniversary date of someone's divorce, mm-hmm. Christmas. I love Christmas in the church setting, but in my emotional setting in that chair alone, I don't like it because it brings back past. How do you deal with your clients when they recognize a trigger, and how do you overcome that?
When they recognize a trigger, I think it's important for them to really sit with it and process it. It might take a while. It might come up really quickly. I don't think you should give up on yourself because it didn't happen in the first 30 seconds. It might take a day or more for it to happen. One thing I know that I used to do was I would go into story and assumption.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was such a good storyteller. In fact, my stories could be the number one soap opera. I thought I controlled everything. If my husband was in a bad mood, I thought it was I controlled that. If somebody else was upset, I thought I controlled that. Then I realized I really need to look at the facts of every situation. If my husband's in a bad mood, and we all get in bad moods, did I do anything for him to be in a bad mood? No. So my anxiety is gone. Before, I would really focus on it. It would play over and over and over in my mind. I wonder what I did. I'm going to play over what I did. No, I got up. I made breakfast. I did this. Why is he in a bad mood? What could I have possibly said? What could I have done? Because I thought it was about me. It's not about me.
That's good. Do you recommend, for instance, if one of your clients or me or somebody that's listening to the program recognizes a trigger, to share with their close friend or their husband or wife or significant other, hey, you doing this triggered me. I'm sorry, it's not you, but I want you to be aware this is why I reacted the way I did. Talking about that trigger, does that help or does that cause more problems in a relationship?
I think every relationship is different. I think it's bringing vulnerability into your relationship to be able to say that. I get triggered. Oh, the other day, my husband came home with wire coat hangers with his cleaning. And he hung them in the closet. And I said, can you throw those away? And he said, well, they're just coat hangers. I said, but when I was little and my mother used to spank me, she used to wire coat hangers. So I would appreciate it if you threw it away. And he threw it away. So in the moment, it felt right. And I think if we stay in present moment awareness, that our intuition will tell us what's right. I've noticed, and I used to be like this, I was so worried about the past or worried about the future that I wasn't in present moment awareness.
Oh, that's so good. Keep going on that. Expound on that, because that is so good.
Present moment awareness keeps me aware of how I'm feeling in that moment. I used to think, well, what if I got sick? What if I die tomorrow? What if I get an illness and they can't cure it? What if? And all of the what ifs probably will never happen. And I would fill my mind with worry over what ifs, over something that could possibly and most probably would never happen. Present moment, I now respond instead of react. My mother-in-law said to me, I see that you don't color your hair anymore. Most people look better with colored hair. The old Patty would have responded, would have reacted and gotten upset. What do you mean I don't look good with, why does she have to say anything? And this was at a Thanksgiving dinner. I looked at her and said, oh, thank you for letting me know. I'm glad you feel you can share your opinion. And it just stopped right there. Had I gone on the defense, then she would have gone on the defense. Being in present moment and really pausing, I paused. I could feel myself pause. I am not going to react to this. I am going to respond like an adult.
That is good. And I think so many times, if we just, and if I'm getting the most out of your wisdom this evening, is learning the word pause, because that pause can be so huge. And even the reaction of past and present, or past and future, can mess up your present. Even like at a Thanksgiving dinner, we do the what ifs all the way down. What if Uncle Charlie comes in and he's drunk again, like 5 years ago? And we let that anxiety affect the joy of a grandchild playing in the floor and getting down and playing with them. Well, I'm worried about when Uncle Charlie gets here, and it messes up. And literally you can do that. An hour can be messed up by what you think is going to happen 3 hours from now. Right. It messes up your present. That's good. Is mindfulness have a concept in this of understanding, I want to focus on this right now, and this is the most important?
I think when we're mindful, we stay in the present moment. So when somebody says something to you, being mindful of who's saying it allows you to respond and not be defensive.
Yeah.
Perhaps the person talking to you is negative all the time and they're negative with everybody. If you're mindful, you can just brush it off. Well, thanks for letting me know how you feel. It's not worth my energy to get into a defensive argument with somebody that I will never win, that neither of us will win. It's just easier to say, oh, good to know, and walk away.
Yeah, that's not the hill. Yeah, not the hill I want to die on today.
Right.
Yeah. I tell you what, we're going to talk about mindfulness and meditation and your take on that.
Okay.
And I love the triggers. And apparently that is so important to you that was like one of the first chapters in your book.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember right, correct me if I'm wrong, but on the other side of this last break, let's talk about how important mindfulness is and how important meditation is. And is meditation really this new age wacko type of thing? Because it's not that what a lot of people think it is. And I want to hear your interpretation on it when we come back right after this last break for a quick commercial, 888-627-6008. And we'll be right back for the last segment. Hang with us.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back. We're getting quite a few texts of people that are you're hitting on a heartstring, and you're getting their interest, and they're really enjoying this. So fantastic. Keep up the great wisdom. You're just pouring it out. And this, and Patty, for this being your first interview, I want to applaud you.
Oh,
you
thank
are doing
you.
Really, really awesome. It's just pouring out of you. So that's great. And I want to make sure we have plenty of time for what I think is one of your pillars of interest, and that's forgiveness. So we only have one last segment here.
Okay.
I want to talk about mindfulness and meditation real quick, and then I want to jump on a huge topic that everybody I know is interested in forgiveness and what you feel about that. But mindfulness, meditation, how important is that?
I think it is key. My answer to this, some people say, oh, you know, I don't have time. My day is so busy. I just don't have time for mindfulness, meditation. I don't have time. To those people, I say, you're the ones that need it the most.
Yeah.
Everyone has 1 minute. You can meditate for 1 minute and it will do you good. When I started meditating, I could only meditate for 1 minute. I was not someone who really enjoyed meditating. Then I came to like it so much, I became a certified mindfulness and meditation teacher. I always thought that meditation meant you had to think about nothing. And how can I think about nothing? I have so many thoughts going through my head. It's impossible to not think about something. But mindfulness and meditation are realizing the thought you have and letting it go. I picture a cloud and I send my thought up to the cloud and watch it float away.
That's good. And you know, I want to go ahead and invite you back to talk about mindfulness and meditation, because I think we can probably do a whole segment or a whole show just on that. You want to come back and talk about that sometime?
I would love to. That'd be wonderful. I just want to say one thing I love to do is go for a mindful walk. And I invite all of your listeners to go for a mindful walk. That is no cell phone.
Oh.
So when you go for a mindful walk, really pay attention to your foot going down on the pavement. Pay attention to how it rolls up. Look in the sky. The other day, I was doing a mindful walk in my area, and I saw this tree that I had seen so many times before, And I noticed little red berries on the tree that I had never noticed before. When you mindfully walk, you notice so many beautiful things. Nature's wonderful. And it calms us down. All of the beauty around us brings us back to ourselves. It balances us. If we go on the phone and you're talking to a friend, you miss all of this. And it doesn't have to be a long walk. It could be 10 minutes going out and just seeing the beauty that's in your own backyard.
And incorporating all your senses, right? The sight, the sounds, the smells, mm-hmm. the touch of the leaves or the bark on a tree. And it kind of just clears everything else out of your head.
Exactly. And another meditation I like to do is mindfulness eating. We eat so fast, or I eat so fast when I sit at the table. I shouldn't say we. I eat so fast. And I've done a few mindfulness eating meals. And that's where you don't talk. You sit, you chew the bite completely until it's just liquid in your mouth. But really pay attention to all the flavors that are in each bite you take. It's very interesting. So many different flavors are in our food. And I used to eat so fast, I don't even know what I ate. I would be, oh yeah, that was good, but I didn't know what was in it. Now I love to taste. Think of a fresh strawberry and you're chewing the fresh strawberry or a tomato. The flavors are amazing. Yeah. Take your favorite food and just slowly eat it and really appreciate it. And you probably will notice flavors you never noticed before.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, I want to invite you back and really drill deep into that, and because I'm guilty of that. I try to process it and try to journal it and try to do all this other stuff, and that mindfulness thing and the meditation thing, I could use more help on that. I know a lot of people could too. Let's now jump into this because I think we only have about 8 minutes. Very important topic. And probably one of the things that you're huge on in your work and in your belief is forgiveness. Tell me why.
Well, I am not a perfect person. And there are things that I've done they're not horrible, but if I lived my life over, I wouldn't do them again. And I needed for people in my life to forgive me. And if I'm asking for forgiveness, how can I be somebody that doesn't forgive somebody else? I'm not saying to forget what somebody did. I'm saying when I forgive people, my heart is at rest. I want to share a story with you that when my mother was on her deathbed, I was still angry with her. And my cousin told me, you need to go and be with your mother. They told me my mother had 24 to 48 hours to live. And my cousin said, you need to go there and be with her so she doesn't die alone. That's the last thing I wanted to do, but I did it. And as I sat there, this voice kept going off in my head that said, you need to forgive her. And I was like, yeah, right. And the voice kept going off, saying, Patty, you need to forgive her. This was over a period of 2 hours. During this time, I called my daughter. I told her her grandmother was dying, and I put the phone up to her ear so she could talk to her. The voice still kept going off. And I was getting tired of hearing it. So I said to my mom, you know, I want you to know that I forgive you for all the things that you did to me. I know you thought you were doing the right thing, and I forgive you. The hospice nurse who was sitting there came over and hugged me and said, that was beautiful. your mother just died. And I felt so much at peace. I can't even explain the peace that I felt. It just, when it came out and she died at that same moment, I was filled with this amazing peace. And also for your listeners who are religious, if we ask God to forgive us, which he always does if we ask, if we ask him to forgive us, how can we not forgive somebody else?
Yeah, and you know, Patty, I'm going to give because I always do. People that will text me and go, that SOB didn't deserve to be forgiven. And I would never, I will go to, you know, and I'll get those because every time we touch on this subject, because I think it's crucial, your mother wasn't, and I don't think you gave her the peace to go ahead and pass. I think the reason she stayed alive was you to experience the peace of doing that and releasing that. And that's huge because I did the same thing in my dad's deathbed too. And he died a couple of days later, but the tears came out of the corners of his eyes and he was in a coma. And it's like, he didn't say thank you or I'm sorry, Greg, or anything. But when I left, I had the peace too. Mm-hmm. And what would you say to those people that are maybe angry now of, wait, they don't deserve it?
I didn't forgive her for her. I forgave her for me. Yes. I forgave her so that when she died and people ask, how did you feel when she died? And I said, I was at peace because I forgave her. I said, I don't know how I would have felt if I hadn't forgiven her, but I don't think I would have had the same peace. And forgiving her right there, I could feel it. I could just feel like a light or a hug around me saying,
yeah,
I was at peace. And I didn't cry when she died, but I was at peace that I had forgiven her, not for her, but otherwise I still would have said, I wonder if I did the right thing in not forgiving her, but I did it to her. And so I don't forget it. And I talk about it in my book. And I just think that I need forgiveness too. And then not being able to forgive someone else, God might not forgive me. And I want to be forgiven.
Tell you what, Patty, this hour flew by and we only have like a minute left. And I know that you want people, I want to give people the opportunity to find out about your Instagram, to find out about how to get connected to you, and to find out maybe when the book does come out eventually, how they'll be able to connect to that and get that. So what's the Instagram? Because I think that's important. You do a lot on that, right?
Yes. I post something every day, inspirational. Okay. And my Instagram account is Patty, P-A-T-T-I, Porto, P-O-R-T-O, Life Coach.
Okay. So I recommend right now before everybody, because they're counting me down here, but before you do anything else tonight, before you go to bed, Patty, Porto, Life Coach, everybody go on Instagram and just follow that and start getting the motivational. If it doesn't help you or if it doesn't give you any wisdom, unfollow, but give it a shot because I think the wisdom that she shared tonight has been beautiful. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, Patty, is that the best way through Instagram or what's the best avenue?
They can send me an email and my email is pattyporto25@gmail.com.
Fantastic. I want to tell you what, I appreciate you being on tonight and I really want to have you back. And especially when this book goes to print and it's released, I want to have you back again so we can talk about it even more and how people can get their hands on it.
I would love to do that. I would love to do that.
Thank you for sharing your Sunday evening with us tonight. I appreciate you being here, Patty.
And thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll do it again. I hope it wasn't too hard for you because you did great. You're going to be doing a lot of these interviews real shortly. And good luck with the book. And anything that we can do to help you with it, let us know, okay?
Thank you so much.
Like we like to do every week, we always end the program with the same way. And I think Patty is a perfect example of this. And no matter what you've happened to you in the past, no matter what's going through your day right now, no matter who wins the football game here shortly, I promise you, there's always hope. Hang on to that hope. Never give up on that hope. And join us right here next week for another edition, live from Houston, Texas, of Breaking the Silence. Thanks, Patty, for being with us tonight. God bless you all. Have an awesome, awesome week. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence. We'll be right back.